I remember the day I stood on the edge of my new 5-acre plot. I had spent years mastering the art of the backyard garden. I thought I was ready. I had my seeds and my hand trowel. I had a vision of a rolling pasture and a self-sufficient life. But looking out at that expansive green space felt different than looking at my small raised beds. The wind was colder. The grass was thicker. I quickly realized that a larger piece of land is not just a bigger backyard. It is an entirely different ecosystem with its own rules and its own dangers. I made mistakes that cost me time and money. I overextended my budget on things that did not matter and ignored the things that did. This guide is about the hard lessons I learned. It is about moving from a hobby to a lifestyle with your eyes wide open. You need to be capable and prepared before the land humbles you. The hidden bones of the land. When I first walked onto my acreage, I saw the sunset and the potential for a beautiful orchard. I did not see the lack of a proper drainage system or the fact that the soil was heavy clay that would drown my trees within a season. This is the first and most common mistake we make when transitioning. We look at the surface, we imagine where the house will go and where the chickens will roam. But the land has bones, and if those bones are brittle, your homestead will struggle to stand. Before you ever put a fence post in the ground, you have to understand the scope of what you are working with. On a small backyard lot, you are usually tied into city water and sewage. You have a level of reliability that you take for granted. On acreage, you are the utility company. You have to know your water rights. I have seen people buy 10 acres only to find out they are not legally allowed to drill a well or harvest rainwater in their specific county. You must check your local codes and state laws before you sign a deed. If you do not have a reliable water source, you do not have a homestead. You have a very large, dry field. Safety starts with infrastructure. I learned this the hard way when I tried to run a simple extension cord to a temporary shed. On a large property, power drop-off is a real issue. If you are not careful with how you run your lines, you risk electrical fires or equipment damage. You also have to consider the grade of the land. Driving a tractor on a slope that looks gentle to the eye can lead to a rollover if the ground is soft from hidden springs. You must walk every inch of your property during a heavy rain, see where the water pools, see where it rushes. This tells you where you can safely build and where you must leave the land alone. The tools for this phase are not shovels and rakes. You need a transit level to check your slopes. You need a soil test kit from your local university extension office. I spent hundreds of dollars on amendments for my garden before I realized the soil lacked the basic structure to hold on to those nutrients. Testing the soil across different zones of your acreage tells you exactly what the land is capable of producing. It prevents you from fighting a losing battle against nature. The why factor here is simple: stability. You are building a life of self-reliance. You cannot rely on yourself if your foundation is constantly shifting. When you take the time to map your drainage, test your soil, and verify your legal access to resources, you are protecting your future labor. You are ensuring that when you finally do plant that orchard, it will actually be there for your grandchildren to see. Once you have your data, the steps are methodical. Clear the brush from your planned build sites. Mark your utility lines clearly. If you have existing structures like old barns or sheds, inspect them for lead paint or asbestos. These are common on older farmsteads and can contaminate the ground where you plan to grow food. Fix the drainage first. Dig the swales. Direct the water where it needs to go. Check your work by observing the land through a full cycle of seasons if possible. If you rush into building in the summer, you might find your barn sits in a swamp come spring. Care for your land by keeping the perimeter clear and the invasive species at bay. Self-reliance starts with a deep, respectful knowledge of the ground beneath your feet. You cannot build a dream on a foundation of assumptions. The weight of modern capability. I used to think my trusty wheelbarrow and a sharp spade were all I would ever need. In my quarter-acre backyard, they were. But when I moved to 5 acres, that wheelbarrow became a source of physical exhaustion that nearly broke my spirit. One of the biggest mistakes in transitioning to more land is failing to account for the massive jump in physical labor and the specialized equipment required to manage it. You are no longer gardening. You are managing a landscape. The scope of maintenance on acreage is constant. You have fence lines that need clearing, driveways that need grading, and pastures that need mowing to prevent fire hazards. In a backyard, you can let the grass go for a week. On 5 or 10 acres, letting the grass go for a week means you might lose sight of your smaller livestock or create a habitat for predators like snakes and coyotes right next to your home. You have to be proactive, and being proactive requires the right tools. Safety on acreage means moving away from garden safe and into industrial safe. When you start using chainsaws, brush hogs, or subcompact tractors, the stakes get much higher. I had to learn how to respect PTO shafts and hydraulic pressure. You must wear your personal protective equipment every single time. There is no just for a minute when it comes to power equipment. On a remote piece of land, an accident is much more dangerous because help is further away. You have to be your own first responder. Your tool list will change. You will need a reliable chainsaw and the knowledge of how to sharpen it. You will likely need a utility vehicle or a small tractor with a loader. These are expensive investments, but they are the force multipliers that make one-person homesteading possible. However, the mistake many make is buying the biggest machine they can find. If you buy a massive tractor for a small acreage, you won't be able to maneuver it around your outbuildings. Match the tool to the task and the terrain. Why does this matter? Because your time is your most valuable resource. If you spend 8 hours doing a task by hand that a machine could do in 30 minutes, you are stealing time from your family, your rest, and your other projects. Self-reliance isn't about doing everything the hardest way possible, it's about being capable of managing your environment efficiently. The steps for closing the labor gap start with an honest assessment of your physical limits. Plan your equipment purchases in phases. Don't buy a backhoe if you only need to dig one trench a year. Rent it instead. Maintain your tools religiously. Change the oil, grease the fittings, and keep your blades sharp. A dull tool is a dangerous tool. Check your systems by timing your chores. If a routine task is taking longer every week, your system is failing, or your equipment is insufficient, fix it before it leads to burnout. Take care of your body as much as your tools. Stretch, hydrate, and know when to stop for the day. A homestead is a marathon, not a sprint. Respect the machine, but never let it replace the wisdom of your own two hands. The rhythm of a living homestead. The final mistake I see, and one I certainly fell into, is the everything all at once trap. When you have the space, the temptation to get the cows, the goats, the chickens, and the massive vegetable garden all in the first year is overwhelming. But without systems in place, scalability becomes a nightmare. You end up a slave to your animals instead of a steward of your land. The scope of a successful transition is about building modular systems. You need to think about how your homestead will look in 5 years, not just 5 months. This means designing your layouts for ease of movement. If your feed storage is 100 yards away from your animal pens, you are going to spend a significant portion of your life carrying heavy bags. I learned to group my high-need systems close to the house and my low-need systems, like woodlots or orchards, further out. Safety in systems involves biosecurity and predator control. On larger acreage, you are dealing with a wider variety of wildlife. Your fences must be more than just markers. They must be functional barriers. You have to understand the local code of the wild, what predators are active in your area, and what their habits are. Keeping your feed in galvanized metal bins isn't just about organization, it's about preventing a rodent infestation that can bring disease to your livestock and your home. The materials for scaling are all about durability. When I built my first chicken coop, I used cheap lumber and thin wire. A raccoon made short work of it in a week. On acreage, you use hardware cloth, pressure-treated posts, and heavy-duty latches. You build it once, and you build it right. You also need to think about waste management. In a backyard, you can have a small compost pile. On acreage, you have tons of manure and bedding that need to be processed correctly to avoid attracting pests or contaminating your groundwater. Why does this matter? It matters because a homestead should provide a sense of peace and capability, not a sense of constant crisis. Systems allow you to scale up without increasing your stress level. When you have a rotational grazing system, your animals do the work of mowing and fertilizing for you. When you have a rainwater catchment system for your gardens, you aren't worried about the next dry spell. The steps to building these systems are: observe, design, implement, and audit. Watch how you move across the land. Design paths that make sense. Implement one new system at a time. Maybe start with chickens, get that system perfect, then move to goats. Don't add a new animal until the previous one is fully integrated into your daily routine. Perform checks by looking for friction points. If you find yourself dreading a certain chore, there is a flaw in the system. Fix it by rearranging the layout or adding a tool that simplifies the work. Care for your systems by performing seasonal audits. Clean the gutters of your catchment systems, reinforce the fence lines before winter, and rotate your crops to keep the soil healthy. True self-reliance is found in the systems that work even when you are tired.